The Velt says there's different approaches from the different schools of thought of Mussar. So in the Vartika would focus on, like, you know, how weak, lowly man is. So both called it God saw them. So they say over from Rav Shalom Shadron that one of potentially the most depressing moments of the year is the Bahur Achum of Matzah Yom Kippur. You just finish Yom Kippur and you got Kippur Tzlicha and Mechila Kapara, and you start Mara Bahur Achum Nershin Shmi Mechilmi. It's only been 3 seconds, but already you have to ask for it. You already have to ask. You already did a chet. You already have to ask for another Rachmanis from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Halo Dover Hu. We daven Hashivenu Vino L'Sarasecha Shmona Esrei 3 times a day. Sachlonu Vino 3 times a day. We sort of associate the world of tshuva, etc., with the Yom and the Royim. And Chazal did not see it like that. So is that a bidiyev or is that a lechatchila? Is that like, you know, listen, we have problems. Human beings come and with problems. So the Baruch Hashem created tshuva. Tshuva, Chazal said, was one of the things which was there before the Bria. Because had there not been tshuva, the Bria wouldn't be able to be mitzkayim. So we push it, touch it up. It's a bidiyev. Right? That Betzem, mankind should be wonderful and perfect. But the mice, we're ois forfs, you know, we're horrible people, you know, we mess up all the time. So Bershu created tshuva to solve our problems. Reb Chatzal Levenstein once said, had the following horror, and I can't answer the question because Yadim Bechira is a reality, and we're getting to really Yadim Bechira. It's, the Bershu created the world, he knew Adam is going to be Choyte. And he created the world means that's how the world was supposed to be. That we're going to be chayte. That is how we come. So maybe tshuva isn't the bidiyevit. Maybe tshuva is the chachila. The world is supposed to be a rule that tshuva is an ongoing process, and part of our reality is the process of tshuva. Not that. So in other words, let's say in other words, every time we mess up, there's a potential attack to our self-esteem and our self-confidence and our perception of ourselves. We blew it. Okay, there I go again. I'm a mess. I'm a problem. And then, okay, listen, you know, you got to do tshuva, whatever, right? But the blow to the self-esteem, because I'm not what I'm supposed to be, is very difficult. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe the Russian made me this way because part of the world is that I'm supposed to have tshuva. So the Bereshit can't make me do a chet, but the Bereshit made me, as it were, weaker than the Yetzer Hara. So there's a Peltek of Gemara. There's a Gemara tradition that the Gemara says that the Yetzer Shalom is Miskaver LaBechoyan, the Yetzer Shalom is Yitzchara LaBechoyan. Two versions of the Gemara. Milmol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizel LaHayacholay. So Bereshit created the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara every day comes with a new way to, he's mischarish b'choyam, so one day he comes with this approach, so you, I know, the Yitzhar, you there, he won't catch you again with that approach, so the Yitzhar, you, this is a new approach, so right to you end up falling, and if a Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help you, you wouldn't be able to overcome it. Now, let's think about this Gemara. The Gemara is very strange. Why did Rosh Hashanah create the Yitzhar? Rosh Hashanah created a man to give the man schar. But we only feel good about our getting schar only feels good if you feel you deserve it. So Bereshit created a world where there's bechira. So this way when we overcome, we're going to feel that we did it. So the Bereshit created Yetzer Hara, which gives us a good fight, but we can beat him. The Bereshit creates the Yetzer Hara, which we cannot beat. And the whole purpose of the Yetzer Hara is that we should beat him. The Bereshit creates a Yetzer Hara which we can't beat. That's basically saying the Bereshit created the Yetzer Hara wrong. If the whole function of the Yetzer Hara is that we should overcome him, why is the Bereshit creating a Yetzer Hara which we can't overcome? Right? It's a Peldik Gazach on the Gemara. So I once heard this from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. I think it was him. And he said that we got it all wrong. We think that the goal over here is that we should beat the Yetzer Hara on our own. The reality is we can't. So you have the, you know, you have the boxing match, and you put the two opponents into the ring. One fellow is the world's champion heavyweight. The other fellow is a novice flyweight. That's what happens when we go into the ring. Right? The Yetzer Hara is going to win. That's not a fight. That's a massacre. We walk in, we see the Yetzer Hara, and we say, Gevalt, God help me. God steps in, gets his Yetzer Hara, and we win. That's the purpose of the Yetzer Hara, that we should ask God's worker for help. We're not going to win. So then that's not the purpose of the Yetzer Hara, that we should win. The purpose is we should ask for help. We should recognize, yes, that the Russian made us in such a way that we, as we are, cannot get to where we want to get to. But when we ask for help, the Russian will help us. And that is what our decision is. Do we really want to be helped? Sometimes, we say Shemon Esrei, Hashemenu Milu Sarasecha. Now, if we want to be honest, I'm pretty happy the way I am. I like it to know that, I do whatever I do. So Hashemenu Milu Sarasecha, do we really mean it? So the answer is yes. We do mean it, because nobody's happy to be. The person knows that he's doing something which is not where he should be. Nobody's happy with that. The question is just how unhappy you are. How deep is that call? How deep in your neshama? How deep in your soul? How deep in your heart is that call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is it a small call? Is it a deep longing? What is it? And that's going to define ourselves. The Ben Yona, beginning of Shari Tshuva, talks about the tremendous problem of being misacher to Tshuva, pushing off doing Tshuva. He says multiple issues, but one issue which he says which our saying it, maybe in modern terms, if you allow me, right? That he's burning baros and misachim and tshuva b'kir rabbi. Let's think about the fact that you push it off. There are multiple issues. Kilula yehisma meya. Kiatu shav nenach barim slave. If he wouldn't wait, and he would feel the pain, allow himself to feel the pain of what he's doing. Berogzo, bedoga, bedolfa enoi, bituga. When the Yetzirah comes a second time, he'll overcome the Yetzirah. V'yizkasher over a love kaitz amri rusul yosef lishas. I don't want to do it again. I felt so bad. I did it last time. The Yetzirah has this tremendous ability. The people who issues with alcoholism, right? They know they can't take one drink. One drink doesn't work. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking one drink. Right? One drink. The problem is, once you take one drink, you take two. Right? No, I'll control myself. I'm going to take one drink. I'll only smoke one cigarette. I'll only eat one potato chip. I'll only eat one piece of cake. Right? And here I am. My issue is reading one page of the book, right? It's 1 o'clock in the morning, I need to go to bed. Interesting book I want to read, whatever it is. I'll just read 5 pages. 50 pages later, I'm still reading the book. Right? Now, I had this conversation with myself last week, and I had the same conversation. And the week before, and I had the same conversation. And every time I do it, I say, why did I do this? How did I get here? I don't want to be here. The more I am burning in the pain that I have afterwards, the discomfort which is afterwards, the next time when the Yetzer comes to me and says, this time will be different. I say, excuse me. I've been here and done this multiple times and it never works. she brings the psukim to support that. And then he says, "Shenis." The second problem is keshena mechetu shavasa kosher. The person does it again; it's harder. Each time you do it, you become more used to it. In the modern terms, we say, "Is this? Are we defining ourselves by this? Are we not defining ourselves by this? I do something wrong. Is that part of my definition? Is that part of my self-definition? Who am I? What am I?" Well, one guy does this thing. Well, if that's your attitude, then you're going to do it again. If my attitude is, I'm not I don't do these things. Well, like, you just did it. Who are you fooling? No. It happened. I fell. I did it. I'm not happy with the fact they did it. I don't want to be such a person. I want to be different. You are you are giving a self definition that this is not part of your reality. That's tshuva. That's all we're asking for. Don't let what you've done define you. Because if you do, it's going to become you. And then you're stuck. But after I do it, I don't push away the pain. I accept the pain. You know, I really don't want to be this person. I really don't want to do this. I just wasted for a Seder again. I don't want to be a person who wastes for a Seder. I want a person who uses for a Seder well. You know, that's the way I am, this is the way I come, you know, it's hard for me, okay, so what are you doing? You're alleviating the pain. It's not comfortable to look at yourself and say, you know, this is not what you want to be. But what you've just done is you've defined yourself in a negative way. So by willingly alleviating the pain and defining yourself this way, it's not so bad, okay, this is the way I am, tough luck, that's how I go. I had a guy who was got married, and he told his wife after Shabbat, he said, listen, these are my problems, this is why I come, tough luck, take it or leave it. Like, really? You can't be different? What was he doing? He was limiting himself. He was defining himself in a negative way. I have these problems, this is me. So where's the room for tshuva? What's the other option? I'm not like that. Well, I'm not like that, but I keep doing it anyway. Must be I am like that. No, you're not like that, and you messed up. And you messed up once, and you messed up 10 times, you messed up 100 times. But that's not you. Don't define yourself like that. Because if you define yourself like that, you're going to be stuck in it. So can you do tshuva 100 times on the same thing? Well, that's what we daven every day. When we say Shemenu Milo Sarasecha, and we say Slach Lomim Kichotonu, most of us, right, it's not like we have new avers every single day. You know, we got the same ones again and again. What a Chazal, when Chazal was Masakin, that's what we should say. What were Chazal being Masakin? They thought that, you know, like Ron was really creative. Every day he gets the new avera. They knew that what we're going to do is the same ones again and again and again and again. And they said, fine. That's what you're supposed to say. I would say, listen, you know, the guy's got a, you know, it's in our terms. We spoke about this once. Shall we Patanik Mikah? The Rebbeinu writes this in a letter. He says, shall we Patanik Mikah? Okay, you see a guy, your neighbor, you know who he is, basically from, he walks, you see him walking into a trefer restaurant and eat a sandwich. Clearly trefer sandwich. So what do you think? You know, Dan Lechavschus, you know, who knows? He thought it was a kosher restaurant, you know. He thought it said McDavid, it says McDonald's, you know, something like that, you know. He has a terrible, dangerous ulcer. If he doesn't eat food right away, it punctures and he bleeds and he dies. You know, it's a kind of, he has to eat something right away. I don't know. Okay. Next week you see him do it again. So the Dan Lechavschus is a little bit harder, right? By the seventh time, it's clear in your head the guy's a Russia. Sheva Yipo Tzadik. Where's the Tzadik? Sheva Yipo. This guy was nichshol in eating treif seven times in a row. Where's the Tzadik? The answer is, he says in the word Vekam. What do most of us do after seven times? You say, okay, listen, I can't control myself. This is the way I come. I'm done. And he gives in. And he defines himself as a person who does this avera. The tzidkus is not the fact that you don't fall. The tzitzit says you keep getting up for the next fight. You go back into the ring with this monster of a heavyweight for another round. Right? You went into the round and he clobbered you. So you go, guy goes to the ropes, okay. You know, they freshen him up, they throw him back into the ring. He says, you know, after some time he says, leave me alone. I'd rather just lie down flat. The tzitzit says, get up again, wash yourself up, freshen your face, it's a new day, and start over again. But as soon as you define yourself like that, you're done. You never can get up again. Or till something really shakes you up. Loyal Lane. So, Hashibena with the Sosecha three times a day is for the same Aveira, the same problem. And at Chazar Masakin, that's how you're supposed to think. You know what? I got up this morning and I promised myself I'm going to do X, or I'm not going to do Y, and I did it. Hashibena with the Sosecha. In the middle of the morning, I do it again. I come to Mincha, I promise I'm not going to do it, and I did it. Hashivena Minu L'Sarasecha. I come to Marav, Hashivena Minu L'Sarasecha. The same thing three times a day, 365 days a year. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's called normal. The ability to believe that we can eventually overcome it, and we are willing to try again and again, and not get exhausted, not get knocked out. Because we're not going to win on our own. We need to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for help. But he wants to see how serious we are. How many times are you willing to get up? How many times are you willing to believe in yourself that you can eventually overcome this? How many times are you going to say Slach Lono and really say, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person who's stuck in that rut. I need help. So maybe it's a more modernized version of the Rebbeinu Yonah than the way Rebbeinu Yonah said it. Modern psychology. The Bereshit wants us to have a healthy self-definition. And that's what he's calling upon us to do. And every time we redefine ourselves after we're nichshol and say, that's not me, I don't want to be that person, we are doing tshuva. Because that's what tshuva is. Now, you're going to ask me, excuse me, Rabbi Reingold, tshuva is azibas achet, tshuva is charata, tshuva is vidui, tshuva is Ben Yoni has 20 ikrim of tshuva, you know. So Rav Volba brings, and Alishur brings a fascinating piece from the Mabit, from the Beis Elikim. The Beis Elikim says that there are certain mitzvahs that each part of the mitzvah is ma'ak of the other parts. You put three sitzes in to your three corners, you put sitzes into three corners without the fourth one. Especially you did three corners of a mitzvah, you did nothing. So I take a lulav and an esrig and hadassim and the arav is I did garnished. I have charata without kabbalah l'habo, the kabbalah l'habo without charata, I did something. The whole tshuva timsuk, that every tshuva is going to give you some type of a process that means in himadregos rabbis the tshuva, in himadregos he's karbadim al kadosh baruch hu. The whole tshuva timsuk slicha. Unless you do, and like you never did it, unless you do X, Y, and Z. Fine. The act of charata is part of tshuva. I did that part. Now, Chazal say have an interesting lashon, which you need to explain. Chazal say, Rishayim Malay Mecharata. So, I just have Mecharata. Yeah, everybody has Mecharata. The guy who pulls the trigger and kills somebody, he said, why did I do that? It's too late. You killed somebody. So, just having charata can still be a rasha. It's not tshuva. And, well, maybe the definition of whether he's a rasha or a tzaddik is when he doesn't do it again. But we're saying it's okay to do it again. I mean, it's not okay to do it again, but the answer is, does he feel that he's forced to do it again? They feel that he's defined himself. The charata which says it's a statement of I am not that person, and how could I do such a thing, and why am I letting myself do this? That charata which says I'm not defining myself as such a person, that's a charata which is true. A charata says I just regret that I did that, but I know that yeah, that's who I am. So that's not going to help you. I mean, it's going to help something. There's a saying in English that the road to you knows where is paved by good intentions. Right. So good intentions is not enough. You need to do more. But I'm saying more than that. I'm not saying good intentions. I'm saying we have to define who we are. Prison comes, it's a long winter. Now Yom Kippur is gewaldic. The biggest challenge about Yom Kippur, making Kabbalah for Yom Kippur, is Ben Hazmanim. Sukkos, Ben Hazmanim. Most Kabbalahs that Yeshiva Bachur makes are about his learning, about his he's going to be spending most of his year in Yeshiva. So I want to make more use of my time, coming on time to davening, etc. Comes Ben Hazmanim and the crazy times, davening, Yom Tov, etc. The time he comes to Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, he forgot what his Kabbalah was, almost. It's very challenging. It seems to be almost an impediment. So the Sos Emes says a beautiful thought to help us put in perspective. And now let's see if we can put it into reality. The Teres HaKasha, I'm taking you back to Sukkos. Teres HaKasha, why are we celebrating Sukkos? If you learn Sanon Yaakov, for sure, but even learn Sukkos, Mamish, either way, why are we celebrating it in Tishrei? Christ left Mitzrayim, and the Pesukim clearly described that they had the Nana Hashem was already there with them immediately. So we should celebrate Sukkos Pesach time. So we really should be picturing, we should be eating the Pesach Seder in the Sukkah. So you would have the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs of Pesach and the mitzvahs of Sukkah. I don't know, you'd have the mitzvah of Talaminim, I don't know, but you'd have the mitzvah of Sukkah, Pesach time. So the Torah says, his teretz, etc. But let's take that visualization for a second. So I'm sitting, I'm sitting in my sukkah, eating my matzah, haseba, the mortar. So I ask you, what is the sukkah adding to my Pesach experience? That without the sukkah, my Pesach experience would not be the same. I'm talking about the Ten Makas, and I'm doing like it says over there in the footnote in the old Haggadahs. I'm in Machabir, I'm explaining them to the point that Pashat, I'm overwhelmed with the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gevuras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Galus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Mamash HaMakabal, the mitzvahs, Be'emo, Be'yira. No, not enough. You also need the Sukkah still. What's the Sukkah adding? Also, at the beginning of Bishalach says that Klai Yisrael is leaving Mitzrayim, and the Roshim is scared that they're going to go back. So, the Roshim takes them in a roundabout way. So, let's understand who are we talking about over here? 4/5 of Klai Yisrael did not leave Mitzrayim, according to Chazal. So 1/5 left means 4/5 said we can't do this. We can't handle this as much as we see the Chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu, etc. The idea of this, a brand new, totally different world, we can't do it. 1/5 said we can do it. We want to do it. We're going to do it, and they did it. Right, you went out. The pasuk says that Gam said, "Aloyosulehem." I mean, these are gedarle in the ruach to do such a thing. And the Russian is scared they're going to go back to Mitzrayim. And so, by Yaseh Velikim, Zok the Medrash. But Yaseh Elohim doesn't mean a roundabout way. It means the Roshim surrounded them with Anon Yaakov. It means the Roshim is scared. They're going to go back. And the Roshim's solution to prevent them from going back is it surrounded them with Anon Yaakov. So how do Anon Yaakov being surrounded by Yisrael take away this fear and this concern they're going to go back to Mitzrayim? The answer is Anon Yaakov, where the Roshim was cocooning them in his arms. He was enveloping them. He was saying to them, I love you. In Mitzrayim, you saw my Gvura. You have the Haftarah. Both points out the Haftarah before Pesach is like, Yamashem Hagolah Banara. Pesach is Naira. So Klai Yisrael is ready to do, but there's an element of pachad. Rosh says, no, don't worry. So Zot HaSvasem is, Yom Kippur is mamash geula. We have our averus, and we get to the point of geula from the averus. And the person is scared we're not going to last. We're going to go back to Mitzrayim. You know, we backslide. Rosh says, no. You know what? If you go straight into regular life, you're going to backslide. I'm going to give you something which is going to help you from not backsliding. I want you to know that I love you. I want to spend 8 days, 9 days together. We're going to spend time together, enveloped in my arms. And when you know that I love you, and you know that I'm much of you, you know that I care about you, you won't backslide. What's going to make Yom Kippur permanent, what's going to make Yetzias Mitzrayim permanent, is being surrounded by none of your COVID. If we internalize the Baruch Hashem's interest in us, the Baruch Hashem's care for us, the Baruch Hashem's love for us, and it's not words that we say, but that we feel, we won't define ourselves as these people who do these things. We'll fall. We'll make mistakes. But we won't define ourselves as these people. We'll get up, we'll dust ourselves off and say, you know what, I'm going to try again, because I'm not that person. I'm somebody that the Baruch Hashem believes in, and he cares about me, and he loves me. I'm not that person. And if we don't internalize that message, it's extremely hard not to internalize, to start self-defining ourselves in a negative way. We're going to do that. It's almost guaranteed. And the only way that we're guaranteed that we're not going to, that the goal is not to hold on to the Kabbalah and to be perfect. The goal is to not let the kishloinas which happen define who we are. And Sukkis is the protective cover which will prevent us from making that mistake. That we are these lowly people. So maybe the Bahur HaChum of Matzim Kippur is the most powerful moment of the year. That it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to blow it. And the brush is going to be Michael. Because of our relationship, he's going to be Michael because he believes in us. And I know that that's not me. And that's why he's willing to be Michael. When it comes, somebody comes to ask Mechila, you know, forgiveness. I just said, it depends. If that's really who you are, I don't want to forgive you. Like, you know, that's very hard. But I know it's a mistake that you made, and it's not really you. Yeah, I'll be Michael. The moment after Yom Kippur, we reinforce, yes, we're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. That's not, as long as you don't define who we are. And the Baruch Hashem says, I'm okay with that. And I'll be Michael, because I know that's not you. And you're bigger and better than that. And don't let yourself be defined by that. And I want you to know that, because that's what's going to let you hold on to everything Yom Kippur gave you for the rest of the year.